Well, today my talk is the third in a series that is based on the book You Are the Placebo, which is the class that we are taking right now is based on the book You Are the Placebo. And so today I'm talking about the ideas from the chapters that we've just read and that overlap with what we teach at Centers for Spiritual Living or Science of Mind. And so in Science of Mind, we have a tagline that says, change your thinking, change your life. Well, Joe Dispenza, who is the author of You Are the Placebo, says something a little bit different. He says, change your feelings, change your life. Change your feelings, change your chemistry. Change your body, change your health. And the reason he says that is because the way that we feel, whether it's grouchy or happy or depressed or uplifted or joyful or mad, what happens is those feelings that we are having initiate a whole set of thoughts that come with those feelings that match the feelings we're having. And so let me give you an example. For example, say that you wake up in the morning and you feel grouchy for some reason. No reason, nothing has happened. You just wake up in kind of a grouchy mood. Does that ever happen to you? Yeah. And so what happens, because you wake up in that grouchy mood, then the first thing you think is, oh my gosh, I wish I didn't have to go to work today. In fact, I wish I didn't ever have to go back to work. Why do we start work so early in the morning anyway? That's so stupid. And that coworker of mine, she is so incompetent. Why don't they just fire her? I mean, she just irritates me so badly. Sound familiar? And then you get up out of bed and you go into the kitchen where your spouse is in the kitchen having coffee. Normally you'd be so happy and so appreciative because your spouse has already made coffee. But no, today, because you're grouchy, you walk up to the counter and you notice there's coffee grounds spilled on the counter, which is irritating. And the milk is still out and you think to yourself, oh my God, he is such a slob. You know, he's such a slob all the time. And this house is just a mess all the time. And leaving the milk out on the counter. Well, of course he leaves the milk out on the counter because he never goes to the grocery store and doesn't care. You know, the thoughts just keep coming because our feelings create that whole series of thoughts that match the feelings we're having. And that is the truth whether we are in a happy mood or a sad mood or a good mood or a bad mood. Whatever the mood is initiates all those thoughts that match that feeling. And so the negative feelings, feeling grouchy, create negative thoughts, which in turn reinforces a negative attitude, which reinforces a negative way of thinking, which reinforces whatever the negative beliefs are that we are holding. And like I said, same thing if it's positive or negative. Scientific experiments are showing just what we've been saying forever, that we don't actually see reality as it is. That we see reality by filling in the blanks with our beliefs. And so we are actually seeing through the filter of our attitudes and our beliefs and our thinking, and we create reality to match that. It happens through our filters. Our subconscious beliefs, especially, that means the ones that just come up automatically, like all those thoughts you just had when you were irritated, the subconscious beliefs become the filter that we're seeing through. And so years ago, I had a friend, Debbie, who had gone on vacation with her family and had talked about stopping at the Hoover Dam on the way home. She always wanted to see the Hoover Dam and had never stopped there. And so they pulled into the parking lot, and there were no parking places to be had. So her husband said, I'm not stopping. There's nowhere to park. We're going to keep going, and pulled out and kept going. She was so mad. By the time they got home 3 hours later, she had already decided she was going to divorce him and had already planned how she was going to move out of the house and about packing her things and what she was taking. That whole thought series that goes along with that being pissed off happened. That's what we do. We make up, and then we start seeing through that filter. But all of that thinking happens automatically. It happens without us consciously choosing those thoughts. It happens without our conscious effort or without our initiating them. The mood sets the thoughts that just start coming automatically. That's subconscious thinking. And the chances are, Whatever those thoughts are, you've had those thoughts. It's not like they're a brand new thought that you've never had before, but the emotion and the feeling triggers the thoughts is why they start coming up. And so the title of my talk today is Stepping Out. And I'm talking about stepping out of the box of our repetitive and unproductive thinking, stepping out of that. And so I'm talking about stepping out of that box by changing our feelings. Like Joe Dispenza said, change your feelings, change your life. I'm talking about changing and getting out of that box of our repetitive thinking by changing our feelings so that we can create better health out of that. So that we create more loving relationships. So that we create greater abundance in our lives. So that we just create better lives. And so Ernest Holmes says that our attitudes and our beliefs and those filters are held in our subjective mind, in subjectivity. And so if you ever take classes, you remember that teaching circle and how it has the three sections, top, middle, and bottom? All that middle section is those is the subjectivity, our subconscious thoughts. And as long as we keep thinking them, we keep putting them in the top and recreating the same thing. Take it out of the middle, the same beliefs in through the top, and keep creating the same effect over and over. That's exactly what Joe Dispenza says. And he says we hold those in our subconsciousness. They're not new. They're in us, in our bodies, in our subconscious mind. And we just, as we think them, we keep creating the same effect, the same thing over and over, because we keep thinking the same thing over and over again. And so what science is also showing is that 95% of our behavior, 95% of the behavior that motivates our choices and our actions come from our subconscious mind. That means that our subconscious mind is running the show 95% of the time. It's just automatic. It's just the same things that we're thinking that have been motivated by the mood that we're in and how we're feeling. And that is what motivates our actions and our choices and our behaviors. And so I'm going to talk today about three ways that we can change our subconscious beliefs. One of the ways that we can change our subconscious beliefs and attitudes and way that we think is through repetitive action. Think about it. It's just like driving. You've driven the car so many times, you don't have to think about it anymore. You've done it over and over and over where it's just automatic. In fact, sometimes I'll bet you go, I don't even know how I got home. You've taken that same route so many times that your subconscious mind just runs it and all of a sudden you show up at home. That's how affirmations work. We keep repeating the affirmation over and over and over again so that it filters in just like learning how to drive the car and doing it over and over again. So that then that new subconscious belief becomes the thing that runs you, becomes the filter through which you're looking through, becomes the new attitude that creates the new thinking. And then by doing that, you set the law in motion to bring something new into your life, because you're having new thoughts and new feelings, but now they're subconscious, so they can just kind of run the show. The second way that we change our subconscious beliefs is by bypassing our conscious mind. That's what happens when we meditate. We get beyond the conscious choosing part of our mind and get into that place where we are beyond thinking and just being, where we are in that open space of infinite potential. That's the same thing that happens when someone is hypnotized. They get into this relaxed state of being. Their conscious mind gets out of the way, and they become what we call suggestible. They become open and receptive to those new thoughts. And so there's an amazing story in here that I want to share with you that was in our reading this week. And it goes like this. 36-year-old Ivan Santiago stood patiently on a New York City street, along with a handful of paparazzi gathered behind a velvet rope outside a service entrance to a 4-star Lower East Side hotel. They were awaiting a foreign dignitary who was about to exit the building and jump into one of two black SUV limos waiting at the curb. But Santiago wasn't clutching a camera. One hand held a brand new red backpack, while the other reached inside the partially unzipped bag and took hold of the grip of a pistol outfitted with a silencer. Santiago, an imposing Pennsylvania corrections officer with a bald head that would have made Van Diesel proud, knew a thing or two about deadly weapons. He'd never had to fire one while on duty, but he was ready to fire one today. Moments before, Santiago had been on his way home without a single thought of guns, backpacks, foreign dignitaries, or assassination. But now, here he was, finger on the trigger, brow knit into an intimidating scowl, and mere seconds from turning into a killer. The hotel door opened, and out sauntered his mark in a crisp white dress shirt, sporting shades and carrying a leather briefcase. The man took only two or three steps towards the waiting limo before Santiago whipped his gun out of the backpack and fired three times. The man fell to the sidewalk, motionless, his shirt stained red. Seconds later, a man named Tom Silver appeared out of nowhere, calmly put one hand on Santiago's shoulder and the other on Santiago's forehead and said, "On the count of five, I'll say fully refreshed. Open your eyes and wake up. One, two, three, four, five. Fully refreshed." Santiago had been hypnotized to shoot a stranger, actually a stuntman, using what turned out to be a harmless airsoft prop gun in an experiment run by a handful of researchers who set out to test the unthinkable. Using hypnosis, was it possible to program a law-abiding, all-around good person to become a cold-blooded assassin? When we get our conscious mind out of the way, we become more suggestible. We become more open and receptive and willing, absolutely willing, to know something new, to feel something new, to experiencing something new. That's what happens in meditation. When we get that conscious mind out of the way, we become more open to, say, the affirmation or the visualization or the prayer. Our subconscious then is open. I have seen hypnotists. I don't know if you've ever seen hypnotists in action before. I've been to some shows, and one of the shows that I saw one time, they had a man and had him lay down and hypnotized him that he was stiff as a board. They picked him up and put a chair just like this, put his head and shoulders on one chair and his feet on another chair. You are stiff as a board. And somebody climbed on top of him, a full-size man, and stood there, and he was stiff as a board. In this book, they talk about hypnotizing people to telling them that when they get into this cold bath, that they are really getting into a warm jacuzzi that's so relaxing and warm. They get into an ice bath, and literally their body temperature doesn't go down. Their subconscious mind believes that it's warm and that it's relaxing, and our bodies respond in like to what our subconscious mind is telling it. And the third way that I love that Dispenza talks about in these chapters is the third way to change our subconscious thinking and our subconscious beliefs and thoughts is by changing our feelings. And so when we do spiritual mind treatment, that's one of the things that happens is we change our feelings. We speak these words of truth. There is only one power and one presence, and that it surrounds me right now and fills me and fills every moment of my life. That presence is a presence of love. Therefore, wherever I go, I walk in this presence of love. It goes out from me and returns to me, whatever you're treating for. And what happens is it creates a shift in the way that you're feeling. You shift from being anxious and worried and doubtful and holding on tightly to whatever isn't working in your life to being open and receptive to a place of feeling anticipation and excitement and hopeful, whatever all the feelings are, but it shifts your feelings to something different that is more open and receptive. And then we feel lifted, and then we let go of what isn't working. And that shift in our feelings enables the good to flow into our lives. Like Dennis sang, it's already there. We don't have to make it happen, but we open ourselves up and get our negativity out of the way so we can allow it to flow into our lives unobstructed when we shift the way that we're feeling. And so feelings, whenever we have feelings, it activates our subconscious mind. It activates those subconscious feelings. It activates our attitudes. It activates the filter. Think about that. If you are thinking worried, if you're feeling worried, what kind of thoughts do you have? Oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to do this. Oh my gosh, it's never going to work out. If you're feeling uplifted, what kind of thoughts do you have? I can do this. This is easy. It changes the thoughts that you have. And so Dispenza talks about there are two different types of emotions. He calls them creative emotions and survival emotions. So creative emotions are things like gratitude and love and joy and peace and trust and wholeness and empowerment. Survival emotions are things like doubt and fear and anger and insecurity and worry and guilt and shame and depression. Each one of those feelings creates a different type of thinking that goes along with it. And so elevated feelings create a sense of expansiveness and openness in us. Negative feelings create a sense of restriction and closed off and not open, shut down. Every time we have a feeling, we are either activating a stress response within our bodies or we are activating the relaxation response, one of the two things. And every time we activate that stress response, that's the fight or flight response, what happens is we have elevated blood pressure, our immune system is suppressed, we get things like acid in our stomach, we get stress hormones like cortisol, which tend to make us gain weight. Every time you activate the relaxation response, on the other hand, you are activating balance and homeostasis and an elevated immune system and the systems functioning in your body the way they're supposed to function. But is that amazing? Every time we have an emotion, we are activating one of the two of those things. And so what happens then is every time we have that stress response, we close ourselves off to new ideas. We close ourselves off to possibilities. We close ourselves off to opportunities and creative thinking and the boundless opportunities, boundless good of the infinite, that potential that's available. And so in the placebo, Dispenza talks about this. He says, if we're living in stress, the chemicals we're pumping into our system tend to drive the whole analytical process faster. We analyze even more in order to predict a future outcome so that we can protect ourselves from potential worst-case scenarios based on our past experiences. When our egos are out of balance due to the barrage of stress hormones, our analytical minds go into high gear and become overstimulated. As your analytical mind is heightened, your suggestibility, your openness, your acceptance, your receptivity to new outcomes decreases. Why? Because an impending emergency isn't the time to be open-minded. You're telling your body, this is an emergency, things aren't safe, it's not okay. Your body says, this isn't the time to be open-minded, I need to know what to do by my past history, and you get into that rigid thinking. We aren't open to new possibilities when we're stressed out. So every time we initiate the relaxation response, on the other hand, though, we open ourselves to new ideas. We open ourselves to creative thinking, to opportunities, to inspiration, to that infinite intelligence that's already present in our lives, that infinite intelligence that is present in our bodies and in our lives, and that is in and through everything around us. We're open to all of that. Well, the problem is we use that same limited thinking and those same negative feelings, which reinforce the same kinds of thoughts, which reinforce the same things that are happening, and we keep producing the same exact things that are happening in our life. I know for me, that idea, change your thinking, change your life, has always been kind of difficult. How do I change my thinking to believe that we live in this universe of absolute abundance when my bank account is so low? How do I change my thinking to believe that this universe is based on this principle of wholeness, that wholeness is the nature of everything, when my knee feels so broken? But if we can start with feeling instead of thinking, that gives us a whole new tool. For some reason, for me, that seems easier to be able to change my feelings. And so Dispenza gives us these tools in this book. And if you've been listening to the meditation online, which I highly encourage, the first part of that tool is to disidentify with this current physical reality, which happens in meditation. We disidentify with our bodies. We disidentify with what actually is already current, which takes us out of time. We're not in the future. We're not in the past. We're in the infinite moment of the infinite now, where all possibility exists. We take ourselves out of our analytical mind, because remember, that's the one that blocks the subconscious. We get out of the analytical mind so that our subconscious mind is open and receptive to new ideas. Then we're in that realm of infinite potential. Then we're in that realm of the absolute, where all is possible. And there we plant seeds. We plant seeds by visualizing and imagining what it is that we want to experience in our lives. And we feel it. We feel it as if it's already happening. We ask ourselves, how am I going to feel when I'm living this new life? And we start feeling relieved, and we start feeling excited, and we start feeling hopeful, and we start feeling invigorated, and we start feeling joyful. Did I say relieved? That's my big one in that meditation. Whew, I'm done with that old thing. I'm so happy. And then the next automatic feeling is to feel grateful for it. So grateful that this is happening in my life, because you're in it. You're seeing it as if it's already happening. You're planting that seed into your subconscious mind, and you're planting that seed into the law as you sit there in meditation. And so in the Science of Mind, Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes says, the creative power responds to feeling more quickly than to any other attitude. The creative power responds to feeling more quickly than any other mental attitude. So we create that feeling in a spiritual mind treatment of relief, of openness, of receptivity. We create the feeling that we're already living this life when we do those visualizations. And so in the placebo, he says, I love this. Gratitude is one of the most powerful emotions for increasing your level of suggestibility. Remember, your level of openness, your level of receptivity. It teaches your body emotionally that the event you're grateful for has already happened, because we usually give thanks after a desirable outcome has happened. If you bring up the emotion of gratitude before the actual event, your body, as the unconscious mind, will begin to believe that the future event has indeed already happened, or is happening to you in the present moment. Gratitude, therefore, is the ultimate state of receivership. And I know for me, when I've been doing this meditation, I feel so grateful. It's incredible. And then, so it's not just while I'm doing the meditation, but I keep walking around and I keep feeling, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful that this is already happening in my life. And one of the things that I've been working on in these meditations is to not feel stress about stuff, to not feel anxiety about doing something new or whatever. And it's like, I am so grateful that I don't have anxiety anymore. I'm so grateful that I feel so peaceful and that things are so easy to move through. I keep thinking it as I'm moving my day. I keep putting that into my subconscious mind so that I can create something new in my life. It's easy to do that. That's easier than changing my thinking for some reason. And so I know that every single one of us in this room has desires. We have things that we would like to achieve and things that we would like to do and things that we'd like to experience. And of course, we have things in our lives that we don't really like, things that we'd like to eliminate and not have and not experience anymore. And so those feelings, convincing ourselves that it's already happened, puts those feelings into the law, puts that embodiment of experiencing it into the law, puts the new thoughts into the law, and all of that creates a shift in our experience in life. Things shift because we are different. Then we draw something new to us instead of the same old, same old. Why is that? Because everything is fluid. Everything is plastic. Your bodies are fluid. They aren't static. Your relationships are fluid. Your coworkers are fluid. Your bank account is fluid. It's all fluid. None of it's static. So when we change our thinking and our feeling, that changes because it's all fluid and it's all reacting to our consciousness. Nothing is fixed. Everything is flexible. And so my invitation to you is to change your feelings. Practice changing your feelings. Do spiritual mind treatment and feel yourself shift into a place of more openness and a place of relaxation. And a place of anticipation and of trust. Notice how that shifts your feelings inside of you. And imagine what it is that you want to have in your life as if it's already happening. And feel it. Feel what it's going to feel like when you're doing that. How you're going to be different. How your life is going to be different. Feel the excitement about it. The relief about it. The enthusiasm. Whatever it is that shifts. And give thanks that it already has happened. And feel how that shifts your energy. Feel the feelings of gratitude and of relief and of excitement and of joy. And let that be the new cause in your life. And meditate so that you get past the place of thinking that this is the ultimate reality and into a state that's open. And then plant those seeds in that open mind. So that it goes into your subconsciousness. Plant those seeds of visualized prayer, because that's what that visualization is. Instead of words, it's just visualized prayer. And use the meditation that we created for this class. It's on your green sheet, and the password's on your green sheet. It's really fabulous. And as a result, you will be changing your thinking and changing your life, changing your feelings and changing your life, changing your consciousness, and changing your life. And so blessings to every single one of you as you create this most amazing life for yourselves, this most fulfilling and satisfying and joy-filled lives for yourselves. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in a spiritual mind treatment right now. And so how grateful I am to be turning within and just recognizing this presence. This presence that is always closer than breath and nearer than hands and feet. This one presence and this one power that I live and move and have my beingness within. For this presence is everywhere. In and through all that exists in this moment, in and through every moment of existence. Before time began and unto the ends of the earth, this one is right here, beating my heart breathing my lungs, expressing itself as my life. It is that thing within me that is the impetus to create this life of my desires. For those desires are that one desiring through me this most amazing life. And so I know today then that these desires that I have are already unfolding themselves. For I am stepping forward as this light of the divine, as this creative force in this world, creating this most magnificent life. And so the divine, the infinite creative power of this universe has already said yes. And so today, I change my feelings and I change my thinking so that I am this open and clear conduit, so that we are each this open and clear conduit. And so today, that presence flows through each one of us as the unfolding of these dreams made manifest, the unfolding of these desires real here in form. And so I know that each and every single one of us is already blessed, that our lives are blessed, that they are a blessing to all those around us, and that our good is assured, for we live in this kingdom here and now. And so I speak this word also for anybody who has been affected by these fires, by fires or hurricanes or earthquakes, that right now that infinite presence is unfolding itself in their lives as the exact thing that they need, as good, as peace, as comfort, as connection, as hands to hold and arms to hug, people to assist and help, and rebuilding. And so lives are being rebuilt right this moment in this energy of love and in this energy of unity, the unity of humanity and of oneness and a brother and sisterhood. There's a blessing unfolding to each one of these people right now. And I also speak this word for our country and for our politicians, for all of the decision makers in this country, knowing that there is a wisdom that is beyond anything that we have ever experienced right now, that is leading them, that is guiding them, that is leading and guiding every single person in this country, coming together as this high idea of a world that works for everyone. That truth and that ideal is leading each of us now. And that a tremendous blessing is coming through all of this. And so it is with absolute faith and trust and confidence that I release this word into that creative law of the universe, that I feel it as if it's done. I accept it as if it's done. And I release this prayer, and I say, and so it is. Amen.